Conversations with Companions.
How you doing, mate? You all right? Nice to finally see you. How you doing?
Yeah, good, good.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Well, welcome to the guest section of the Doc Who podcast. How you feeling? First guest ever on the show.
That feels good.
Yeah, brilliant. So, I mean, I've sent you the questions already. I mean, we are recording at the moment. Josh will chop and change all the stuff, but yeah, so we'll just chat. We've got the questions to go. But I suppose the first question is, how did you find us?
Wars of Mars is honestly one of my favorite episodes, period. I mean, it's horrifyingly brilliant. It terrified me as a child. I refused to watch this episode for about 4 years after release.
Yeah, no, I've got to say, we as I said to you off camera, we've recorded our section of the podcast last night, and I think it's safe to say we all came to the conclusion that one, it was by far the scariest episode of Doctor Who that I've seen. I don't know about future episodes or not, but the second is just it was just one of the best. I mean, it's now my favorite episode. I know that Josh said it was as well. Brad said it was a good episode. I still think I think there's other ones that he likes, but yeah, no, so it's good. So yeah, so de definitely a favorite one of yours, but not so much as a kid then.
How old would I be? 2009? So, yeah, 7-year-old me did not get on with this episode.
Don't blame me. I was gonna say I'm 26 and I still found it scary. So yeah, not sure. And the thing is as well, we were saying is we're not sure like how like. Because it's difficult with the BBC, and you know it's prime time TV. It's before watershed and everything like that, and they were walking a very very fine line between it actually being what I would think is suitable for the kids and on a kids show, and kind of what it would go over the line, something like Torchwood or you know kind of saying like that. So yeah, so it's good. It's a good episode though. It's a good episode. But yeah, so let's crack on with the questions then. As you can see, I'm really professional. I've got them all. All on my phone rather than memorized. So when did you first start watching Doctor Who then?
First, well, I was properly getting into it actually around the time that Wars of Mars came out, in late series four, and then into series five and beyond. I think that I started watching it, but I was quite young. I think I was only 5 at the time. My first episode, which I really got into, was U Utopia, so first part of the series three finale. As I said, I was only 5, but I remember we like saved it on DVD or something. I've still got the whole like series 1 to 4 collection.
That's cool. I'm a big fan of DVDs. I much prefer. I mean, I look, don't go streaming now and everything. It makes it easier. But as you're saying about having a DVD and having a collection, like an actual collection, you've lost that now, haven't you? Really.
And I actually have Fear Her on there, which is not on the iPlayer anymore, so.
No, exactly. Well, again, we spoke about this last week. I think it's last week before. I mean, as far as we're aware, they're bringing Fear Her back. But of course, they're going to edit it first and everything. And that's the whole thing about having a physical copy. They can't take it away or edit it. That is the raw version of what you got. But I look, to be honest, I'm not a fan of Fear Her. I thought it was one of the weaker episodes. But I
But
mean,
yeah,
what do you think? What do you think of
it's
it?
Fear Her is my least favorite episode of the ones you've covered so far anyway, so I wasn't exactly heartbroken.
Exactly. Yeah, I've got to say, I mean, it's one of the weaker episodes. But I look, an interesting concept, but I just think, yeah, I think the execution was poor in it, really. But yeah,
Yeah, I mean,
before we do
if
anything,
Wars of Mars had been the one that they took off, I would have started petitions to get it back.
No, exactly. So I just had to double check then. I had a horrible feeling. I couldn't see the recall button on the Zoom thing, and I was just like, no. But it's just got away, which is good. But yeah. So Utopia was kind of like the first one that you probably remember.
Yeah, well, I
Okay.
mean, I seem to remember them trying, my parents trying to get me to watch or two, and I think it was the blink, and I 5-year-old me did not survive that episode either.
Well, I'm excited because Brent and I sat down last night and watched the is it the 11th hour of Matt Smith's first episode, And I've got to say, the Weeping Angels are one of my favorite villains so far of Doctor Who. And I'm quite gassed to see them back in season five, apparently. So that's going to be interesting to see what it is. But I mean, that episode of Blink is just brilliant. And you know, the fact that it's not even a Doctor or like even companion heavy episode, it is just actually just people that were there, you know, just random civilians. So yeah, okay, cool, good stuff. But so the next question I've got, and when I won't judge you, Brad and Josh might, but who is your favorite Doctor?
So, I mean, David Tennant is definitely up there, and I would probably say he's the best.
Okay,
But
yep.
I mean, maybe it's me being biased because, as I said, I grew up with this doctor. But Matt Smith,
Okay,
as well, I've
interesting.
always said that Matt Smith is my favorite.
Yeah.
Like, whilst I can definitely say that David Tennant is probably the best, and it is like if I picture the doctor, I always picture David Tennant in my head,
Yeah.
especially. When watching Wars of Mars again, I was like, okay, this is
Yeah,
this
it's
is how Doctor Who's meant to be. But yeah, no, Matt Smith, I love Matt Smith.
okay, interesting. Yeah, see, I mean, I technically for me at the moment, David Tennant's my favorite Doctor. I mean, I've only seen two, so you know, it's not really a lot to choose from. But I'm sure you know, Josh is his Peter Capaldi, and Brad's his David Tennant. So, yeah, I mean, what do you think of? We just touched on David Tennant, but the Peter Capaldi, Josh has been the fate of. What do you think? Could you see it? Could you? I mean, as I said, I've not seen his stuff yet, so.
I can see that he's not obviously my favorite, but I think it suffered a little bit from writing because he didn't quite have the writing that David Tennant had, for example. Like, Russell T. Davis was in the prime of his life writing series four, and Wars of Mars has proved it. That's I mean that it's, the last 15 minutes alone of that episode is just peak fiction anyway. So, but I think almost Peter Capaldi feels a bit like almost like the most doctery anyway. He just has that swagger about him.
Yeah, no, I get it. I get it.
He just gives like doctery vibes. I think it's just when he just stares at the camera and just like raises his eyebrows and
Yeah.
he's
To be honest, I know Josh is going to cut this out, but I can't wait because I know that Brad constantly says about it, that Peter Capaldi is so boring and everything like that. So it's going to be interesting to see what I think about it because I know that, I mean, Josh has met Peter Capaldi as well. It's one of his most prized possessions is the picture of him with the Scott with his sonic screwdriver and Peter Capaldi. He's got a picture, and I think it's signed as well. But that does bring me on to my next question. What is the coolest bit of Doctor Who merch you've seen or you've got, or what are you thinking?
So, yeah, I don't know if it actually technically counts as merch, but
Okay.
since 2010, I have had a cardboard cutout of the TARDIS super glued to my bedroom door. It is still there
Nice.
now.
Nice. Cool. Yeah, good stuff.
I don't think it's coming off with the
No.
door in any. No,
Just moves and he just takes the door with him. It's just like, no, it's not coming off. That's
if we
it.
sell the
It's
house, I think it's just going to have to come with the cardboard cutout of the TARDIS on the door just as part of it. I think that will be
So you
better
are
than
gonna,
seeing what's under the door.
yeah, no, that's good. Sorry, you will have to excuse the cat. He is going around the house like it's anyone's business. But yeah, no, that's really cool. And I mean, is it kind of the size of the door? Hello. Is it the size of the door or is it kind of a little
Oh
smaller?
yeah, no, it covers the entire door.
Brilliant, love it, love it. No, good stuff. And I mean, have you seen anything that you know that anybody's had and you thought, oh, that was really good? Because I've been to a few Comic Cons. I know that Brad and I are trying to look to go to a few as well. And I've got to say, some of the stuff over there, I mean, A, it's incredibly expensive, but B, it does look really cool. Anything you've seen that you're kind of secretly jealous of someone having, or
I mean, I was actually at the Doctor Who proms
was you? Wow.
on Monday, and that was amazing. And I dressed up a bit. I put on a blue suit, had the burgundy red Converse. But
Nice.
people were dressed ridiculously good, like fully accurate.
Yeah.
But I saw someone with like David Tennant's long flowy coat. I was like,
Yeah.
oh, I might steal that.
Yeah. No, I've got to say we did actually, funny enough, in the Who News this week, we spoke, like, you know, we've been speaking about you know, kind of the BBC problems and everything, and it, from what we saw, It looked phenomenal. It really did. So you were actually there, were you?
Yeah, and I met Russell Davis as well, so
Really? Well, I
all
tell
in
you
all,
what,
yeah.
you've suddenly become the coolest person we've ever had on the podcast, and that's including me, Josh, and Brad as well. Brilliant. And what's he like as a person? I mean, was it? Did you just, you
I
know?
mean, he seemed great in the 10 seconds that I had, but this was in the interval, and I managed to. You could see where he was. Catherine Tate, who was hosting, she was brilliant, as always. But she called him out, and then he was just waving in the audience. I think everyone kind of knew where he was, but I just skipped off just before the interval. I managed to get there like first or second, and then get a photo and get his autograph as well.
Brilliant.
By the time I'd done that, there was probably a line all the way around that tier, the Albert Hall,
Yeah,
full
no,
of
I can
people trying to
imagine.
get there.
Yeah, I can imagine. I mean, he again, it's one of those things, you've got to consider him as probably the best writer for Doctor Who. Which is phenomenal. He's done such a he's played such an important part of, revitalizing Doctor Who and everything. So yeah, that's really cool. So you briefly met Russell T. Davies, you got a photo. Any and anything else sort of
And we
problems,
briefly met Stephen Moffat as well. Got
Really?
friends with him as well. They were in the
Nice.
same box.
Brilliant. I mean, that's incredible. Absolutely incredible. So yeah, so are you going to try and go? Is it, I'm assuming it's a yearly thing, isn't it? Or is it?
I mean, I think it was meant to be. I mean, Matt Smith got two. I actually went to both anyway, back in 2010 and 2013. Matt Smith and one of each of them. I think David Tennant also had one in 2007. But then there hasn't been one since 2013. I don't know if they now make it a yearly thing, because the problems obviously cycle every year. So I feel like no one would really complain if it was every year, but it did kind of feel special coming back after what, 14 years or something.
Well, I mean that's the thing, isn't it? It's very difficult because you've got to look at, kind of certain things like the budget, and I can imagine it's quite difficult to try and get everybody in the same place at once. Kind of you got to hire out the Albert Hall and everything, and I can imagine. I suppose they've got it in the BBC to be able to do it, but as you said, sometimes it does get that little bit special, kind of almost like the Olympics, isn't it? You see that every 4 years. It's a big, it's a big event when it's there. Everybody really enjoys it and everything, but. To be honest, I think it'd be good if they did it a yearly thing. Especially now that they've got Doctor Who back. It's now under Disney Plus as well. I know it's not necessarily BBC, but they've still got the links there.
I would
Yeah,
go
no,
to
so
every year as well.
yeah, no, it's really good, and it's just nice as well. It's like things like Comic Con, and I'm trying to think of other things now. Where you actually kind of get to meet people like in the fandom. And it's really, really cool. And again, just speaking to everybody there and then. Everybody's there to have a good time. You meet loads of interesting people. And yeah, no, that's really good. So moving on, who is your favorite companion?
Donna.
Donna. Oh.
There's a.
Oh.
I know. I feel like I have a memory of you not liking Donna.
It's to be honest, I it's not that I don't like Donna. Well, actually, no, but she's my least favorite. She's just very shouty, very loud, and but I will say though, she of all the companions, she does have the funniest lines.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't particularly like her in her first episode, but I think in series four, she's brilliant, especially when she utilizes that the comedy, like in Unicorn of the Wasp and Partners in Crime. But I think she's actually quite good at the serious moments as well. Like Fires of Pompeii is one of my favorite Donna moments.
Yeah, no, that is true. That
At
is
the
true.
end
And
there, I'm also a huge fan of Martha. I mean, I don't know if it's unpopular, but I do prefer Martha to Rose.
interesting. Okay, and what was that?
I think, it's just a bit preference, maybe. I mean, I just think she's m more of a complex character. I do like complex characters. There's a few, as you'll find out, there's companions coming up that are very have complex character arcs. I just think Martha just has that. Rose was very simple, not in a bad way. I mean, just brilliant for the show and bring it back. But I just think they almost develop Martha wrong, and I do also feel a little bit bad for her. So maybe I'm just Burn that out because the doctor doesn't prefers Rose, so maybe I'm just saying Martha just to make her feel better.
It's a rough one, isn't it, really? Because you kind of feel like Martha's almost the rebound. Rose is his favorite. I mean, his other, kind of parallel self even goes off with Rose at the end of season four. And you do feel a little bit bad for Martha. But no, I really like Martha, actually. I think she's the thing I like about her, she's very independent. And so was Rose, but just she just did her own thing. She was
Yeah,
there, like, when they
I
got.
think she was a good match for the Doctor as well. I think she stood her ground and was very reliable, especially in episodes like Human Nature, Family of Blood, and 42 when she kind of had to do things on her own with the Doctor, otherwise not being able to help. She got it done.
No, exactly. So it's no, she's yeah, no, I've got to say both of those. But yeah, no, unfortunately Donna is my least, I say least favorite, rather than I don't, but yeah. And so the final question of the of this interview is Waters of Mars, love it or hate it?
Love it. Just that it's one of these. It's 10 out of 10. It's 10 out of 10 writing, 10 out of 10 acting, 10 out of 10 on the scare factor as well.
To be honest, I'd have been really surprised if you'd sat around and just like, nope, I hate it, don't like it, it's rubbish episode. No, it's yeah, no, brilliant. It's yeah, as you say, it's as close to perfect as you could come. So well, what I've seen with Doctor Who so far. But yeah, so that's well, look, thank you very much for joining us here.
My pleasure.
Really do appreciate it. Hopefully we can get you back on the podcast at some point as well. And yeah, no, I really appreciate everything. Kind of you listening.
Well, thank you very much.
But no, that's sorry, I just cut on there just because we're trying to cap it to 15 minutes just to kind of give Josh a bit more editing time, because we found that we've had longer episodes, it just people don't tend to tail off. So we said with the interview thing, we'll just do it 15 minutes and that's it. But I mean, anything else you want to add or ask or anything, just the editing magic that I say I do, Josh does. But
What are you looking forward to in Series 5?
For me, it's got to be the Weeping Angels. It's real. I mean, the interesting thing is there's a few interesting things, because I mean, as I said, we've now I've now seen the fight, like the two part of season finale of season four, and I think the biggest thing for me for season five is to see how Matt Smith holds up as the Doctor, because when you're a kid, you kind of imprint on a certain actor or actress or something like that, and you're like, right, that's it. No, it's different. I don't like it. I'm not, kind of thing. But of course, a bit older now than I was when it came out. So I'm going to be interested to see what I actually think of how he is as the Doctor, and how he compares to the Doctor, what he does the same, different. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. But I'm so excited. The Weeping Angels are back, which is a favorite. What else? Because they're like the next on thing. I'm just trying to think. Oh, they're vampires, I think. Was it vampires or something like that?
Yeah,
So that again, that was out.
I do love that that clip show of Series 5. It's like I remember just watching that on loop when the episode first aired. Just like just I just kept watching it, like it's like glued to the screen, just trying to figure out what was coming up.
Yeah, no, it's brilliant. It's good. It's yeah. No, I've got to say, I mean, I'm vampires are a villain that I quite like anyway. I mean, I was a massive fan of I want to say it was 2003, the Van Helsing. If you, I think that Hugh. No, that didn't. If you, or was it Hugh Jackman?
Yeah, no, you're a huge
It
admin.
was Hugh Jackman. Yeah, I was a massive fan of that as a kid. And again, I just love that kind of, vampires are very. Because they're embedded in human history and human myth and everything like that. It's always interesting to see, especially shows like Doctor Who, when they bring villains that could have existed in human,
Yeah, like the
so
werewolf in Tooth and Claw.
exactly. Like the werewolf, it's and I've got to say, I think they're my favorite episodes of Doctor Who, when they kind of go back in time and something happens that explains our history. Which is, I mean, Unicorn of the Wasp, I wasn't really a fan of. It was, I just didn't really understand it. It was a bit, Just a giant bee as a villain. I'm not really, you know, I can't, I just couldn't get into it. I was just like, oh, this is tough. But the interesting thing with, oh God, I forgot the writer's name there, the lady.
Agatha Christie.
Agatha Christie, that's it. I Googled, she genuinely disappeared off the face of the earth for a couple of months. And I was just like, that's quite cool. I like that. And like looking up at it, that nobody knew where she was. She couldn't remember anything. Like, and I quite like that. You know, it does kind of give an explanation as to
I feel
something
like
that's.
Russell T. Davis was just looking up like top 10 unsolved mysteries.
Yeah.
I
Yeah. I mean, I wonder if there's,
don't
I
know.
mean, you're probably better, so, but I wonder if there's something like the Mary Celeste or something like that. Just do, just, oh, yeah, we're going to do an episode on that instead. But yeah, no, it's good. It is good, though. And yeah, it's just interesting. I can't believe, I mean, you know, Josh and Brad grew up with Doctor Who. I mean, they, you know, many times on the podcast have said about, you know, sitting down with the family to watch Christmas specials and, you know, kind of tuning in every weekend. And I'm kind of glad I missed that. But at the same time, I'm, you know, it's nice watching it now the way I'm watching it because I'm a little bit older.
Yeah.
You kind of pick things up a bit quicker and everything. So
No, you
yeah,
definitely
so it's good.
appreciate it more. Like, well, obviously, when I was first watching it, I was like 5 to 7. I was just in, kind of enjoying it when I wasn't being terrified by weeping angels or water zombies. But, I was just kind of enjoying it, and then obviously, I didn't necessarily appreciate how good the episodes were. Especially I obviously was hiding behind a cushion most of the episode. But then obviously I when I rewatch them now, I'm okay, this is why I love this show. And Wars of Mars is one of those episodes where it's just this is why I fell in love with the show.
Oh no, it's perfect. It's perfect. I mean, the thing, I don't know if you're kind of a fan of like older horror, like I say horror, like sci-fi horror films, kind of. But I watched it and I was like, I've really now got to watch The Thing and Alien as well. I was just like, it just reminds me of those kind of films, you know, where it's just like it's a sci-fi horror. It is just true sci-fi horror, which is
I think Stephen Moffat once said in an interview that he actually based Blink off Alien
yeah,
in
I.
a way, like that lone threat. And I think also Russell Davies with Dalek as well was another one of my favorite episodes. That kind of feels like Alien, where it's just kind of this one threat, and then when the Daleks come back, it's almost like Aliens when you just got oh, there's millions of them now.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I think that's the thing because it's the whole setup with episodes is key. You know, do you go for just a single lone villain or do you go for a big swarm of them? You know, and each one's got different like kind of pros and cons. But the best, as you say, the best ones is just when there's a lone single villain and there's loads of expendable people around, you know, people you've just been introduced to, people that are kind of like fringe characters, and then suddenly you're just like, nobody's safe.
No, and Wars of Mars did that best. Like you
Yeah.
just, I think it was about a 10-minute period when like three characters got killed off.
Yeah, we said about that. It's just you look at, excuse me, you kind of, because it happens in such a quick succession, it falls apart massively. Like suddenly they're looking from being able to escape and, you know, get off the planet and everything like that, and then suddenly three of them are gone, and you're just like, shit, are the rest gonna make it? Like, you know, it's such good writing, it really is. And the fact that they're in quick succession as well. You just, as a viewer, you're just in shock. You're like, damn, like that was so quick. They've just gone, you know. So it's,
I think that's our old horror movie trick as well. I think a lot of horror movies just suddenly have just 10 minutes where the villain just completely wipes out all most of the good guys and
yeah,
just like,
but
whoa.
that's it. Yeah, no, that's it. Because and exactly, just because you then get that wall factor, you're just like, you kind of, you're seeing how powerful the villain is. You're kind of setting out the stakes that. Actually, everybody's in danger, nobody's safe, and you know, it just kind of it gives that kind of shock value, so it is perfect. But yeah, so what would be, I mean, have you got like a favorite special at all of Doctor Who?
Well, actually, End of Time is probably arguably the
Okay.
next episode.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I watched those again after watching Wars of Mars
Yeah.
just because I was like, oh, it sets it up nicely.
That is the thing. Sometimes when you watch something, you have to watch the next one for me. So like I'm a massive fan of the Marvel films, and every time I watch Thor Ragnarok, I have to sit down and watch Infinity War because it just leads perfectly on. And then I watch Infinity War and I'm like, right, I've got to watch Endgame now. That's it. And then before you know it, I've lost an entire day just watching three films. But I see what you mean. It just sets it up perfectly, you know. And we touched on it in the podcast, then that it kind of, you know, you either die a hero or live, or see yourself live long enough to be the villain. And that is the Doctor at the end of Waters of Mars, you know, and it's perfect. It really is. But yeah, so what is going to be the next episode of Doctor Who you watch then?
After the proms, my dad said he really wanted to watch A Christmas Carol again, which is one of
Nice.
Matt Smith's Christmas ones, because the song from that was played in the proms, and it's just like I don't think he's watched that in a while. I've watched it a few times, but I've not that many. It's a really good episode. It's probably one of my favorite Christmas episodes. I
Brilliant.
mean, Boys of the Damned is my favorite, even though it's a bit goofy in places.
Yeah,
But
it
A Christmas Carol is a really good episode. So I'd watch that anytime.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's good. Look, to be honest, Voyage of the Damned, but I know you say it's a bit goofy in places, but it is quite a good episode, you know. And it's, again, it's just an interesting concept that they made up, and they were like, "Look, this is, you know, this is it." I do think it goes really well. And again, the characters there. No, but I did not expect for them to pretty much kill off. Well, in fact, they did kill off all of the temporary companions. They killed them all off, and I was just sat
It's
there
not.
like,
It's not
I can't
even.
believe
It's not
that.
even. It's not even a horror episode, and they still killed
No,
half.
they paid all that money for Cardi Minogue, and then they just killed her off. And I'm like, wait, hold on, what? Like, it was no, it's really, really good. But so your family all into Doctor Who as well? Like, again, growing up,
Yeah. My dad. He started watching after near the end of the third Doctor's reign, and then grew up with Tom Baker. I mean, I think Tom Baker's his favorite. There's a few others, like, but again, like me, it's almost like the first Doctor you watch all the way from start to finish kind of ends up being your favorite anyway.
No, exactly. But no, that's good. That's good. Well, I'll cut us off there because I don't want to cut just unexpectedly go. But Matt, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us. And yeah, as I said, thank you for listening. You know, Josh and Brad's unfortunately he's over at watching the football tonight, so he couldn't make it. But and Josh, well, he's 4 or 5 hours in front of us at the moment, so we always have fun when we're trying to record because it's just we've got to incorporate time zones, work, personal life, you know, the whole thing. But no, we really do appreciate you listening, and you know, thank you so much for joining us. And as I said, yeah, hopefully we can get you back on and do another interview with you.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, no, well, Matt, thank you, pleasure as all. And yeah, we'll speak to you soon.
Yeah, take care.
Bye. Cheers, Matt. Thanks. Bye.